Hey, Starting Nine listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard seltzer beverage company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome back to Starting Nine, episode 63.
Let's go!
63, running on, like, call it 3.5 hours of sleep. Long night in the Bronx last night.
No rest for the wicked, Carabas.
No rest. No rest for the Rocket. That is.
I'm just glad to see the Rocket did not overlaunch.
That's right.
Which I think probably happened, but you came back down to Earth just in time. It's good to see you, friend. It's good to see you in the flesh. Good to see you not bleeding your own blood, not peeing your own pee all over your own pants.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that could have happened last night, too. Didn't happen. Felt like some other guys might have peed down their own leg last night.
We got Dallas
guys not wearing Red Sox uniform.
We got Jay Hay on the line. It was, I mean, I don't know how many playoff games you guys have been to as a fan, but there is nothing like ninth inning, one run game, being on the road in a ballpark that is banged out 55,000. Going bananas. And me, I don't know that I felt physically threatened, but if the Red Sox lost game four and I was in Yankee Stadium, I'm not quite sure how that would have went down, because
you're fucked.
The entire section was well aware of who I was, what I was there doing. They saw the camera. They saw the sweatshirt. I mean, it's bad enough. It's bad enough to be a fan in a road ballpark in a big game and then have, you know, blow it in the ninth inning and lose. It's even worse when people, like, know that you're a fucking asshole.
Yeah, there was a moment in time where I genuinely feared for you, because I was thinking to myself, you know what? If shit hits the fan here, he really only has Hubs. He really only has Hubs to help defend him. And I'm not knocking Hubs. I'm just saying, if we're going to run down a list of people that I want right next to me when shit is going down and I'm going to need help, Hubs, I'm going to let Hubs sleep. Let's just say that. Like, I'm not calling Hubs at 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
So I didn't like your odds getting out of there if it were to go awry. But luckily, for the most part, they showed restraint. And like I said, you didn't end up bleeding, which is, I mean, let's remember, Jared, the time I spent in Yankee Stadium, I stood up and said what I said about the Severino 4-plus inning performance after they rose to their feet like it was fucking Caesar coming back from the conquering shit. And I ended up having a fucking ciabatta bun thrown at me. You know
did
what
you?
I mean? So, yeah, I did. Nobody noticed that. I did. I noticed the ciabatta bun come flying down from up top. Didn't say a word, because Carabas, that's a vet move by me.
Right.
Because you got two options. Turn around and make it known that you saw that attempt, or stand idly by, let it diffuse, because you understand, hey, I know where I'm at. The fucking zoo, baby. And I'm an animal lover. I'm not into killing animals. Don't make me do that.
Yeah.
Well, not to be lost in that is that when left out for a little while, ciabatta rolls can be kind of hard too.
Mm-hmm.
They can, Jay. Could have sliced my jugular. Shit could have went south really quick. I could have fell over the third deck. It'd been all bad, man.
It was a hell of a night at Yankee Stadium. The crowd was rocking. It was a very tough spot to be in. I'll be honest with you. I was panicking. The video, which is on BarstoolSports.com right now, I think we called it Carabas versus Hubs ALDS game four, the final round, where Hubs, and this is what I compared it to. I was talking to one of the guys downstairs. I was like, it was like the fucking the 1800s. I felt like I was standing on the platform, and I had the noose around my neck, and I was just waiting for them to pull the fucking lever. I was like, just fucking kill me already. Like, why are you making me stand here for what felt like 6 hours? Like, obviously the Red Sox are going to lose this game. Just fucking kill me. Like, why make me stand up here with the noose around my neck and just wait for you to pull it whenever? Like,
did you really expect that to happen, Kimbrel? I mean, so you've just kind of, I mean, and look, this is my job. All right. It's not to, well, it is to give you shit and make your life miserable when the opportunity arises. Mm-hmm. But it's also to be unbiased and look for little cracks. All right. And that right there, Karabas, is a crack. That's a crack in the armor. It's a chink in the armor there. Because that says that you do understand that aside from Craig Kimbrel, your list of trusted relievers is about as fluid as H2O, my friend, and it is ever changing and ever evolving. So that is real, that the Boston Red Sox, even with a lead, even with roughly a 3-run lead, maybe don't necessarily trust themselves to the level that folks would trust themselves.
Well, I think a lot of it was the environment. I mean, if he had struck out the first batter he faced, that inning goes completely different. But there was a pair of walks. There was a hit batter. There was a dinky-ass DD base hit. That changes everything. You give that stadium life, and they're going to make your job extremely difficult. I think the environment definitely got to Kimbrel. I don't think it's so much that he's just not pitching well. It's just like, holy fuck. I wasn't in the game, and I couldn't even imagine being on that field.
As far as what the Red Sox players encountered here and will encounter moving forward, the, dare I say, the taller hurdle is out of the way. Meaning the emotion, the peripheral energy around the series, that is all going to be pegged down a notch, even for the World Series. And you're like, hold on. You mean to tell me that what they felt in the ALDS is going to be more than what they're going to feel in the... Yeah, I'm going to say that. Yes, I will say that. Just based on what you said, the environment, the energy, the rivalry, everything that allows that to be what it is. I mean, for a lot of people, they're going to look at the ALDS and go, all right, I'm happy with that. That was fine. I'm good with that being the postseason for baseball. Mm-hmm. Like, I can move on. I can, and that's not the case. Because the Astros are a really good fucking ball club.
Yeah.
Really good team. So while the energy and the rivalry doesn't exist, obviously the task at hand is greater. But the emotion that the Red Sox will be playing with is just going to be different than it was for this, unfortunately, a short series.
Yeah. No, and I think that when you look at the Astros and the Red Sox, there's a storyline here. It's not just two teams thrown together. They matched together last year, and the Astros kind of took care of them handedly, Chris Sale included. So that's a big storyline. A lot of righty bats in that Astros lineup, and you also have a lot of left-handed pitchers, especially in the rotation, on the Red Sox side of things. So the Red Sox are moving on. The Dodgers are moving on. The Astros are moving on. And my Milwaukee Brewers are moving on. The stage is set. There are four teams remaining out of the 30 who set out back in April, back in February when they showed up for spring training. There are 30 teams in this league. There are four still standing, contending for the 2018 World Series Championship. Before we start previewing these series, Dallas, being a pitcher that, knowing you sometimes complain about things. CC Sabathia was complaining quite a bit about Angel Hernandez. And I'm not going to stand here and tell you that Angel Hernandez is a great umpire.
Nope. And I'll stop you right there and I'll say it for you just so people understand that this is how much on the same page you and I are, but how much we pay attention. Look, you have to give credit where and when credit is due. You also, if you're not into that, you also have to just lay out when a bashing isn't deserved. And last night, Angel Hernandez was not terrible behind the plate. I think that's safe to say. Was not terrible behind the plate. Is that safe to say?
Yes. Yes, it is. And I find it, you can say those things. You can believe those things. But I think,
yeah, I still believe he's fucking terrible. I still believe he's fucking horrible.
He is.
I still believe he has no business in a postseason series. I still firmly believe all of that. And unfortunately, what I just said about him not being a complete fucking waste of flesh and space and breath behind the dish last night sort of says, we'll see if you give him the opportunity. No. God damn it. No, this isn't riding a bike for the first time without training wheels. This isn't going to the skating rink and not having to use the edge for the first time. Mm-hmm. This is Major League postseason baseball. We are not looking for you to just not fuck it up this time. We're looking for you to nail it every fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you aren't somebody that's got that club in the bag, my friend, lay the fuck out.
Don't we have statistics to sort of back up his strike zone efficiency? Isn't he in like the bottom?
Not even close to the top, Jared.
Yeah.
Bottom rungs, my friend. Bowels of the rink.
Right. So just to circle back to the main point, is CC Sabathia wrong for feeling the way that he does about Angel Hernandez? Absolutely not. And this goes back. This was not just a game four issue. He's had issues with Angel Hernandez for a while now. However, I don't want to say it falls on deaf ears.
It just becomes like unfortunately, and this is part of the game, right? The numbers are going to be there to reflect his outing, not CC's, but Angel's. His efficiency numbers and all that, and that'll all come out. And I promise, I think that stuff will come out just because players are predisposed to having these feelings against an umpire, and CC is predisposed, especially after the night that Angel had before. He's expecting a horseshit job. And, you know, I'm not a fan of that mindset, because I firmly believe if you sit around and you wait to be struck by lightning, Carrabas, you're going to miss out on a lot of good weather, but that one day you finally get hit by lightning, you're going to go, see, told you it was coming.
Yep.
And I'm going to go, yeah, well, you missed out on a pretty sweet fucking life sitting here, asshole, waiting to get struck by lightning.
Correct.
So,
not to get lost in all that, CC did make some other comments after the game last night, and he talked about wanting to come back to the Yankees, and he spoke glowingly about this core, this group that the Yankees have built. And that was sort of what I wrote about after this game. I didn't really write about the game as much as I talked about the path to this game, which started 5 years ago. You know, 5 years ago is when we saw Xander Bogaerts come up and Jackie Bradley Jr. come up. The next year, it was Mookie Betts in 2014. And then you start integrating all these guys, Gary Sanchez, Luis Severino, Didi Gregorius gets added in a trade, and everyone's like, who the fuck is Didi Gregorius? And now he's one of the most important players on that team. And then obviously Aaron Judge. And then once you start building these cores, you know, people forget the Red Sox finished 2 games in front of the Yankees last year. It was tighter last year than it was this year. The rivalry in the spark wasn't there because, A, they didn't meet in the playoffs, and, B, there was no on-the-field animosity. You add Giancarlo Stanton to the fucking Yankees.
And the star power.
Yes.
The fuck you star power.
Yes.
You know?
You're trying
it's
to...
not just a guy that's playing well.
Yes.
Is the guy who hit the most fucking homers in the big leagues.
Right. After you added the guy who hit the most home runs in
after
the big
you
leagues.
You hit the most home
after,
runs as
yes,
a team.
Yes. So I think they hit 241 as a team, and then added the guy that hit 59 fucking bombs. It's like, okay, now that's a Steinbrenner move. And then the Red Sox counter with J.D. Martinez. And then it was back on. So it felt like starting back in like 2016, whenever Aaron Judge came up, that's sort of when I felt like we are now a year or 2 years away from these two teams being on a collision course in the postseason. We saw it.
Well,
do
you
think
needed,
it lived up to the hype?
Seasons? Yes, I do. I do because I think you needed to have one team out of the two do as well as they did, meaning the Red Sox, and then the other team be overshadowed by the success of the other, which is the Yankees winning 100 games but being overshadowed by the Red Sox winning 108. You win 108 fucking ball games. Excuse me. You win 100 ball games in your division, and you're thinking that's a good season. Mm-hmm. Let's not get too excited about winning the division. Let's keep our eyes. Hold on. Wait. We didn't win the division. We won 100 fucking ball games. We didn't win the division.
Yeah.
Like that right there. That helped the billing of this meeting in the DS, of this potential rivalry rebirth, and it has absolutely reignited the hatred, the interest, mm-hmm. the excitement about this rivalry. And look, as somebody on the West Coast, it pains me to talk about it like this.
Yeah.
It does. I want to rinse my mouth out right now. I want to go out and eat fucking sand to get this dirty taste out of my mouth. But it is what it is. Baseball is better when the Yankees and the Red Sox are good teams and when they fucking hate each other and when they've got good players who make it interesting. And they have all of that right now. So I'm excited.
Before we move on from Red Sox Yankees, I got to ask you, have you ever in your professional career, in your broadcasting career, minor league career, anything, heard of a pitcher not knowing what time the game started, thus missing his bullpen to warm up for the game? It wasn't that he missed his bullpen. He was late to get out there, so he missed his long toss, so he skipped his long toss and then just did his bullpen.
I've never heard about them not being on time, like physically at the end of their warmups. Like, oh fuck, you got to speed. Like, little side note, Carabas, I showed up to the yard on my one fateful day of work, mm-hmm. With about an hour to go.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's how fucked up and late and off I was on that day. Like, it was such a bad scene. But I've never heard that was crazy.
That story about you showing up late, I feel like, you know, that we always give the credit to the guys like, oh yeah, I show up at 11 a.m. for a 7 o'clock start. Roger Clemens, before his 20 strikeout game, the first one, he was like 15 minutes before the first pitch. He just showed up. They had to give him like a police escort.
Yeah, our video guy told, like, the next outing I had, he refused to accommodate my my weirdness when I look for video. He would separate video again. First day after the start, I'm watching the first three guys. Second day after the start, I'm watching the next three guys. Third day, last three, blah, 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 blah. And then on my start day, I would go about it a certain way. Well, on my start day, he just refused to give me that shit. He was like, nope, no. Saw what happened last time. I ain't fucking doing it. Nope. Mm-hmm. So there was, you know, there's some banter. For Severino, like, I don't want to talk about that. For Severino, you've got to know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
You have to, like, and it was funny because Gary Sanchez, right, was on FaceTime with A-Rod and joking about, I'm just trying to figure out what time the game is tomorrow.
Yeah.
No, that's real. You really are trying to figure out. But a lot of this shit can change because, Carabas, there's a lot of shit going on in the postseason circus. So you've got, sometimes you got to get out there earlier for whatever's going on. Sometimes it's going to be pushed back a little bit because you've got something going on, and times can get changed and communication can fall through the cracks. But God damn, for you to not be ready, like, I can't buy that.
I think Luis Severino is going to be the face of the forgot what time it was thing. But I think it was more than one guy because Brett Gardner had the wrong cleats on.
Yeah, it's definitely got to be, it's definitely a, hold on, did you say, so it can be as simple as a, hold on, it's a 37 start? Oh, fuck, I thought it was a 30 start.
It could be that simple.
It could be that, and you're thinking, 7 minutes? Are you guys serious? 7 minutes threw you off? Guys, 7 minutes?
There's your long toss.
That's a full inning of work out on the mound. Like a lot goes down in 7 minutes. That's stretching and getting my arm ready. Like you said, there's a lot that can happen in 7 minutes. So chicken go awry very quickly.
Yeah, no, 100%. But yeah, at the end of the day, Jay Hay, I'd love to get your thoughts on this too, on whether or not the Red Sox Yankees first time meeting in the postseason since 2004, did that live up to the hype to you as a fan that did not have a dog in the fight?
Yes, I would say mostly yes. It was I think it was also helped by the fact that three of the four division series were not necessarily super competitive. So that rate, not only was it the primetime game, which raised its profile, it started with the largest profile, and then the other three options sort of kind of faded away. And even when the stage wasn't just Red Sox Yankees last night, it sort of felt like that was the, you know, the most contentious overall series. I think it had the most drama by far. It probably had as much drama as the other three series combined, to be honest. And it's what I will remember from this DS when we're talking, you know, 4 or 5 years from now. And the team that I like to root for played in this DS, and this is what I'll remember. I'll also remember Yankees fans, man. I mean, imagine being Liz Gonzalez this morning and waking up having realized that you filmed that video.
Yeah, that was a bad video. That was a terrible video.
27 rings, no pun intended, rings so hollow these days. Like, I don't care about the number of championships a franchise that you root for won 40 years before you were born. Who cares?
She's from Texas.
You didn't get to see them. You didn't, like.
I don't even think she saw the ones in the 90s.
Yeah. I'm picking on her because she put herself out there with that video. Yeah. But that was just so typical last night, where it's like your team got outscored 65-3 in the series or whatever it was, and it's Aaron Boone's fault. Okay. Well, did Aaron Boone have the best managing series I've ever seen? No. Did he make some of the mistakes that he had made throughout the regular season? Perhaps. But, like, the team more or less got handled, and that's just how it goes. The offense didn't show up. But I would say that it was by far, to answer your question, it was by far the most interesting series to me.
Yeah. By the way, there's 1,700 replies to that video. Not a big deal. Yeah, definitely got ratioed on that one. I thought it lived up to the hype. I didn't want it to go five, but, like, you know, as an unbiased national baseball journalist, there's part of me that thought maybe a game five would be interesting. But as a Red Sox fan, I'm thinking, well, you want Chris Sale to be set up for game one against the Astros, which is probably now going to be the case. But I am Dallas. I'm officially growing out the playoff beard. Grown up.
Wow.
Yep. Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Haven't shaved or trimmed, rather. I mean, I've always always got the
beard. Told us,
going on.
You told us there was going to be a big announcement today.
Yep.
I'm glad to hear it.
The beard is back. The beard is back. It was nice in 2013. That beard was nice and long. It was crisp. It was shiny. Just run your fingers through it.
Yeah, see, I'm going to have to get you some beard oil from the wife. Homemade action.
I bet you there might be some products I might be interested in from Dollar Shave Club, actually.
Oh, yeah, they do a fantastic job.
Yeah. How did you get ready today? Did you shower, brush your teeth, wash your face, style your hair? I'm asking because as a proud member of Dollar Shave Club, I'm here to tell you no matter what you do to get ready, Dollar Shave Club has everything that you need to look, feel, and smell your best. You want a clean mouth and fresh breath, right? The intense peppermint flavor of Dollar Shave Club's toothpaste will wake you up and last a surprisingly long time. See, I need this because I'm a big-time morning breath guy. I don't know why that is.
Big morning breath, huh?
Yeah. When I wake up in the morning, I'm like, I need to have better breath for the situation. So I go and I get my Dollar Shave Club toothpaste. Their hydrating body cleanser smells awesome, and my skin feels really smooth after I shower. I get a lot of compliments on the smoothness of my skin.
Well, and you glow. You've got a glow about you.
Yeah, and you know, I take pride in that because, you know, no one wants to see someone that has, you know, leather skin like Dave. No.
Ma'am, can you get your bags off of the table? Oh, I'm sorry, those are your arms.
Correct. I hope Showering and brushing your teeth are part of how you get ready every day. But no matter what you do to get ready, Dollar Shave Club has everything that you need. And I haven't even mentioned their razors and shave butter that everyone knows them for. See, these, that's where, that's my moneymaker right there. So I'm always keeping it nice and tight up here. You got to do the cheeks up here. I do my line myself. Everyone's like, oh, what do you tell the barber to do for your beard? I'm like, no. No, buddy. I use Dollar Shave Club razors. And it's like right here and under the neck there. It's money every single time. And right now, you can get a Dollar Shave Club starter set for just $5. They've got a shower set, toothpaste, and toothbrush set, or their famous shave butter and razor. Any one of those sets are just $5, and it's the best way to try out their amazing products. After your starter set, products ship at regular price. Get yours today at dollarshaveclub.com/starting. That's dollarshaveclub.com/starting. The NLCS. Before we start breaking this down, I will ask both of you, first, your impressions. Your impressions of the division series, Rockies, Brewers, Braves, Dodgers, and then I would like to know, is this the matchup that you A, wanted to see, and B, expected to see?
No, I don't think it's the matchup I wanted to see.
Me neither.
I would really, look, I understand where you're coming from with the Team of Destiny and the Colorado Rockies, and I've got friends on that club and friends in that organization that I would love to have them experience that. But my heart of hearts, I wanted to see the young group in Atlanta sprinkled with some veterans carry on. And that just wasn't going to be the case. So I'm okay with this. I felt like I expected the Dodgers to kind of do what they did. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that we all expected the performance from Kershaw that we got. That was very nice. That was very pleasant to see. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. Jay?
I mean, I'm not one to draw attention to myself, but I will use this as an opportunity to congratulate myself on my unwavering Dodgers support. Thank you very much. No problem. Arizona faded away. Colorado faded away. You chumps faded away. And then it was just me and the Dodgers left. So that was kind of cool. I'm super excited for this matchup. I think the better team won between the Dodgers and the Braves. I do understand that the Braves, you know, they had an excitement element to them, but like, honestly, man, like the longer the season went on, like the more it felt like Ronald Acuna and Freddie Freeman were carrying like, such a high percentage of why I found the Braves to be interesting. Like Ozzie Albies, for as exciting as he was in the first month and a half of the season, and I think still is a long-term asset, like really didn't do a whole heck of a lot over the final 4 months of the season. And I think, you know, the Dodgers stuck with a philosophy that has guided them through the season, which is, you know, which the Athletics deployed to a degree, which was, you know, the long ball is going to carry us, and they stuck with that philosophy, and Max Muncy and Manny and all those guys came through. I'm really excited for Brewers Dodgers. I think it's going to be, I think it has the potential to be a really exciting series given how the offenses and the bullpens match up.
I mean, this fucking bullpen is ridiculous. The Brewers bullpen, and not even just the Brewers bullpen, the Brewers pitching in general was ridiculous in that first round. The two runs.
Hold on.
What?
Hold on.
What?
It's one thing. Look, the Brewers pitching. Look, they ran out a bullpen game. Okay, they started with Woodruff. So
yeah,
I understand what you're saying. Like starters wise, though, Carrabas, come on. Starters wise, starting road, because this is now seven games. I'm gonna need four. I need four starters. Four. I don't know that the Milwaukee Brewers provide you with four, no doubt, give that guy the ball type starters, which is why they ran out.
How many teams actually have that, though?
Well, I would say more than people are trying to take away. Like the idea of a rotation that still exists. I'm just saying you're taking out Well, it's going to be Chassin.
It's going to be Chase Anderson, Julius Chassin, Wade Miley, and your boy Gio.
Yeah, well, that's the that right there.
And Gio fucking, why is no one talking about Gio Gonzalez? He didn't pitch in that series. He did not pitch in that series. And he made five starts for the Brewers, and I think he had an ERA in the low twos. He was good. He was good down the stretch when they needed him to be, when he wasn't really having a great season otherwise but prior to that.
And he is actually, he's one of my, like, he's a, dare I say, X factor.
Because he's not being leaned on here.
Right, and he is going to be at a point in the rotation, it's going to be pivot time, meaning he's going to be pitching the ball game that puts them up potentially 2-1 or sees them go down 1-2. You know, and that's going to be that's a very important ballgame. To your point, 2.13 ERA, I think, the last, or like his time.
Yeah, he only made five starts there.
In Milwaukee, yeah, and the opponent's batting average under 200. Mm-hmm. So he did very well. He did very well.
Why haven't they announced the fucking starters yet? Game one is going to be, would you go Chassin in game one or Anderson?
I'd go Chassin.
I would too, especially because
he's been the guy.
Yeah, he's been the guy, pitched in game 163, had success, and then you go Ryu game one. What? I don't get the whole,
it's not Ryu. It's Kershaw.
No, it's Kershaw.
Did they announce it? Because the probable say TBD.
No, that's announced. It's Chassin, Kershaw, and then it'll be Ryu, Miley, and then it'll be Walker Buehler, and then that's where Gio Gonzalez comes into play. Or do they go Brian Woodruff and company? You know,
no.
And that's something. That's something. Well, you say no, but they fucking ran it out there
in a short series, though. I don't know that you can do that in a best of seven. And I've got no problem
with the day off. Why not with the day off? That's the thing, Jared. Is you?
Well, it depends on the events that lead up to that.
That's why I think Gio Gonzalez is the X factor here, because the events that lead up to that are whether or not your team is 2-1 headed into that next those next games, or it's 1-2. Mm. You know what I mean?
Has Max Muncy ever hit a cheap home run in his fucking life?
My God, Babe fucking Muncy.
Yeah, I mean, that
Go ahead. How about that at bat against Max Fried, where, like, you know, they brought him in specifically to face Muncy. He kept throwing these pretty nasty curveballs. I think he might have thrown him three straight to start the at bat, and then he tried to set him up with a pitch high, a fastball high that was nowhere near, and then he looped that curveball in there again. And you could just see Muncy, like, yup. Like, it felt like, I don't know, I'm not a fucking professional hitter, but it seemed like he was sitting on that pitch and just fucking crushed it. And, like, you know, that was the game, more or less.
And I thought to myself, you know what? If he was I don't know that Fried was trying to throw that elevated breaking ball, which clearly wasn't. But if you can execute that pitch, a breaking ball up in the zone these days, and I've seen it happen, I've seen guys do this and use this as an approach, that can be a tough pitch to hit as well, because that's a breaking ball that starts up and out of the zone and comes back into the zone at the top, which is a pitch that is tough to get on plane with. So for Muncy to lick his lips and then just shat upon that ball, that was, you kind of like, ugh, sorry.
Ugh. Yeah, I'm a big Max Muncy fan now. So we have two very powerful lineups. You have a rotation that favors the Dodgers. But you have a bullpen that favors the Milwaukee Brewers. And the stat I was going to get to before, in the NLDS series between the Brewers and the Rockies, the two runs that the Brewers held the Rockies to, the fewest runs allowed in any NLDS in history. That's kind of saying something.
And they have a bullpen. Like, you run it down who they got. Jeffress.
Hader. Knebel.
Knebel. Soria.
Soria.
The young kid, Burns, I believe. Corbin Burns is his name. That's going to be a guy. That's going to be a guy to look at as well. He's going to play a role. He's going to play. They got fucking arms, though.
They go deep. They're probably right now. I mean, depending on Jeffress's health, because I think that's they're kind of sweeping that under the rug. And, you know, not a lot of people are paying attention to my Milwaukee Brewers. So no one's like, oh, my God, like what's Jeremy Jeffress's health situation? But yeah. If you are a Brewers fan, that is on your radar. And if you're a Dodgers fan, that's now something that also should be on your radar.
Where Corbin Burnes comes into play, right?
Knable too has the experience closing out games and Hader pitched in all three games and closed out game three. So yeah, I mean, it's fine. Like whatever, or you have five relievers in theory that you could throw out there in any order that you wish. And I have faith in them getting the job done.
They use Soria. I believe they use Soria, Knable, Jeffress and Hader all three games. They used all four of those dudes, all three games.
Yeah,
the Brewers bullpen in the DS had 22 strikeouts and 3 walks and 15 and a third.
That's pretty good.
Peace.
That's pretty good. Peace. Yeah, I mean it's a bad situation if you're trailing late against the Milwaukee Brewers. But that I mean it's not to say that you know.
So what do you think? What do you think is the biggest factor here? Then let's all three kind of. What is the biggest factor going into this in LCS? Like, is it the Milwaukee Brewers bullpen? Shouts to PFT. Is it the lack of a bridge to Jansen for the Dodgers? Shouts to PFT, the
yeah.
Dodgers bullpen. What is it? And because look, and if you guys don't know what we're talking about, obviously we did the electric chair. PFT was giving me shit about the bullpens and how you can just say the bullpen and, oh, that's like that's a legitimate thing. Like you don't have to really dive deep into the analysis of well, the facts are the facts and the bullpens impact the game of baseball more so than they ever have these days. So what is the X factor? Is it a Cody Bellinger who was fucking 0 for the DS? Like what is it?
I think you already nailed it. I think it's the bridge to Kenley Jansen because you saw when Jansen had to step away for, you know, 3 weeks or whatever it was to get the heart taken care of, that bullpen melted down without him. So it could also be it could be a two-parter. It's the bridge to Kenley Jansen, but it could also be Kenley Jansen because there have been times this year where he has looked great. The traditional form of Jansen that we've come to know and love over the last few years here, or I mean he's looked terrible at times to start the year when he came back from the disabled list. He was terrible. He was blowing games left and right, and that wasn't all that long ago. I would say the bridge to Jansen, but also Jansen needs to be Jansen because that's the one guy that you can depend on.
Right. Look, because Maeda. Look, I've got no. I'm totally comfortable with Maeda.
He's electric. He's electric out of the bullpen.
I love Maeda.
Yeah.
And Maeda, like, I feel like the last 2 months, he's really started to show some emotion in this role as well. Like some serious fuck you vibes coming out of Maeda. And I am here for all of it. But yeah, Maeda, Madsen, Scott Alexander, the human fucking rain delay that is Pedro Baez. Throw the goddamn ball, Pedro! those guys are going to play a huge role. The depth of the Los Angeles Dodgers, Carabas.
I mean, they got fucking, when you got Max Muncy coming off the bench to hit tanks.
Right.
Do or die games, but games that, you know, this is a deep team. You know, and then
David Freese. Come on, David Freese. I sent out a very underrated tweet the other day. When David Freese got that knock, current temperature freezing.
Yeah.
Yeah. not too many Braves fans didn't really like that.
No, I'm sure they didn't.
They didn't like that. Sure. I'm sure all the dads on Twitter loved it, though.
It's fucking. Tell me that's not great. Tell me that's not a great joke.
That's right up my alley.
But yeah, I
we didn't mention Dozier coming off the bench like that.
Right,
dude's fucking 2 years removed from a 40 home run season.
Yeah. I mean, what Matt Kemp fucked around and hit 30 bombs this year.
Rocket Award winner.
Yep.
Matt Kemp.
So the Dodgers got depth, son.
Yeah, they sure do. So advantage Dodgers in the rotation. Would you say advantage Dodgers in the lineup on paper?
Oh man. See, that's tough because would you say so, Jay? You would say so?
Yeah, I would.
I feel like if anything, I'm gonna call it a push.
Yeah, because look, Turner, Puig has been good. I mean, those two really are the counter to
all of this, though. I mean, you know,
all right, you say a name, I'll say a name. Like, hey, okay, so fucking Aguilar, Jesus Aguilar.
Yeah, I mean, Aguilar has not been the same player in the second half. No, but when you're talking about Yelich, Scope,
so could
Shaw.
Aguilar be? So you say so Aguilar, Bellinger, right?
Yeah,
those could be the same guy, right?
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
Didn't have the second half, whatever.
Puig, so, Yelich.
Come on. You're putting somebody in the same category as
the MVP.
My NL batting title, my NL
yeah.
batting championship.
So that tips the scale to the Brewers. And then if you want to talk about, you know, Machado had a fucking terrific series, by the way, against the Braves. Mike Moustakas has been there, and he's done that.
Machado had two hits.
He had two
series.
Bombs.
They're both homers, so I can't say he had a terrific series. He got two big knocks.
But they were, yeah, I mean, those were difference makers.
Yes, but that's different.
We talk about, just off the top of your head, Alex Bregman, did he have a great postseason last year?
Did Alex Bregman have a great postseason last
year?
Yeah. I would say a middle-of-the-pack postseason.
I think you're just trying to defend yourself here. We remember the two hit bombs off of Chris Sale, but like he didn't like overall hit very great. I think in the postseason, I'm not looking at batting averages and OPS really. Like it's good if it syncs up that way. But I mean, if you hit 133 in a fucking best of seven series, but you hit two home runs that won you some ball games,
yeah.
Fine, that's a great postseason.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I agree with that. I agree with that. I'm not debating.
So I think
that.
Machado had a great series. I think he did.
And I don't. I think Machado had a couple really big ABs in that series. That's the difference.
But I also think that it they have to be
because
meaningful. Like Giancarlo Stanton in the wild card game.
The wild card.
Yeah, he hit a
homer,
fucking
like,
bomb.
Like,
but I mean, the game is already over at that point.
Right,
and it's like that's
meaningful.
You know, it is what it is. Do you remember that?
I've quickly short memory, Travis. Quick memory, bud.
By the way, let's circle back to that because you were there with Hubs, and was this off the air that we talked about this, or did we talk about this on the show? The fact that now that the Yankees are out, he made a deal with Dave that if the Yankees lost to the Red Sox in the division series, for every game that the Red Sox play in the postseason, Hubs has to wear a Yankee jersey, full Yankee garb, in a Boston bar with a dunce cap on.
Yeah, so I just received a text message, and I'm not kidding you, from El Prez that reads, "So you want to go to Boston with Hubs?"
Ooh. This would be a very interesting video series because I had to have I had to have a little chat with Hubs last night because he was down, obviously. I mean, his season's over. Season's over. You're going to be down in that situation. But I said, buddy, listen, like your Twitter following increased 150% this season. We did a lot of great video content together. It started off like sentimental and heartwarming, but it ended with, and you get to go do videos with Dallas and Boston. So I mean, it's like your season, like the Yankee season's over, but like your content is not over. Like you still get to do a whole video series with Dallas. It's gonna be great.
It's gonna be phenomenal.
Yeah,
it's gonna be phenomenal. Yeah. So I think it's probably gonna be wheels up for your boy somewhere around maybe Friday night, Saturday, mm-hmm. and I'm coming. I'm shipping up to Boston, Carabas.
And because of that, I think there was a little birdie told me that there might be a starting nine section 10 crossover live show
what
at a bar outside of Boston where either before game one or game two, you got your boy Dallas.
Crossed over.
Maybe Coley Mick in the house. Ooh, that would be nice. I would love for Jay Hay to be there.
Just stepping over Teron Lu's dead body.
Don't know what Jay Hay's schedule is like, but I would love to be there.
Jay Hay, kid.
That actually would be tremendous. Hello. yeah, that would be great. I'd very much into that if that happens. You know what else is happening, Dallas?
Tell me right now.
Me quitting chewing tobacco. I did. I quit dip in December. Wow. I dipped for 11 years.
Show is just full of announcements. Playoff beers.
Oh, yeah. Big time playoff beers. Quitting just dip. I started dipping when I was a senior in high school. And I don't want to put this on him, but it was because I idolized Dustin Pedroia. And I was like, I need to do everything that this guy does. So I'm sure there's a lot of baseball fans out there that have a similar story where they played baseball. They saw their favorite big leaguer when they were a kid dipping, and then they started dipping. Once you get hooked, it's very tough to kick the habit. But I'll tell you how I kicked the habit. I did it with Black Buffalo. And this is not like, hey, why don't you talk about this product even though you don't use it? I've been using Black Buffalo since, like I said, this past December. It's almost been a year that I've quit dip. And to be honest with you, I probably dip Black Buffalo more than I dipped the real shit, because there's just like that peace of mind where it's like, this is a healthy alternative. I'm not actually, you know, putting my life at risk by doing this. So.
Right.
Here's the thing about Black Buffalo. It's because I've tried other substitutes before. You didn't get the brown spit. It didn't have the nicotine. You didn't have the burn. You didn't have the buzz. This Black Buffalo has all of that. It packs the same. It tastes the same. It feels same. It's the same routine. So, yes, when people – because I've talked about Black Buffalo before. They were even a sponsor, and I've had people reach out to me being like, oh, are they just like, you know – You just pushing their product? Did you actually use it? Yes, I actually use it. I've been using it for a year. I know Big Cat uses it. Fights uses it. We all swear by it. And by the way, that wasn't even an ad read. That was me just off the top of my head telling you about Black Buffalo. So it is the only tobacco-free dip that delivers the same experience as the traditional products, the same texture, flavors, and buzz. So you can keep the ritual, but ditch tobacco. They sell 2-packs and 5-packs exclusively on blackbuffalo.com with free shipping. By the way, I always do the double 5-pack. It's cheaper that way. The more you buy, the better the deal is. So use promo code baseball for 25% off your next order. Like, I'm going to just start using that fucking promo code because I want to say cheaper. Yeah, like it's a there was I found a promo code somewhere, and this one's better. So I'm going to use our promo code. I have to restock today because I buy 10 tins at a time and I just burn through them. So blackbuffalo.com/baseball and use the promo code baseball to get 25% off your next order. Black Buffalo, born in the Midwest, raised in the South, charge ahead. I like that. And again, I use it. I don't know if like we're going to – you can't see us right now, but I got it in my pocket right now. I always got it in my pocket.
You should end this with a buffalo sound.
What, you want me to make a buffalo sound?
Yeah.
What a buffalo sound like?
Like that. Do it.
Whatever you think they sound like.
Yeah.
Yep. Nailed it.
That's
like
not bad.
That's a buffalo. That's a buffalo. Every time I leave my house, I always do the three pocket tap. I go keys. Wallet, phone, Black Buffalo.
Yeah, that's four.
Yeah.
I want to pause this here for a second.
And,
that was a tremendous ad read. But before we move on to the ALCS preview, you guys are on the hook. Who the fuck are you picking for the NLCS?
Fucking Brewers in seven.
Los Doyers. I gotta roll. I got to roll with the Dodgers. I do. I think I think this is the year that Clayton Kershaw finally becomes a Dodger.
Clayton.
Fuck yeah.
Come on now, Clayton. Yeah, on there, dear. Get him, Clayton. Gotta get him, Clayton. Turn him strike, dear, Clayton.
What? Who is that? Where is
that's my...
Is that Rick Honeycutt? Dave Roberts?
That's my number one Clayton Kershaw fan voice.
If that's Dave Roberts, you need a lot of work.
By the way, Dodgers fans, it's nothing personal, because I've had Dodgers fans tweet me and be like, dude, what are you good against the Dodgers? Like, why are you rooting for every team that they play in the postseason? And I wanted the Braves to win that series because I'm sick of the Dodgers. Like, it's nothing personal. It's just three straight NLCS appearances. I got sick of the Cubs too. The Braves have a lot of young, exciting players. I wanted to see Fulton Nevich pitch deep into the playoffs. I wanted to see Ronald Acuna Jr. playing under the bright lights, Ozzie Albies. Newcomb was another dude that I thought deserved
That's
a redemption start.
See.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like, you know, when he got pulled, he probably could have given you more, but when he got pulled in his start, he had probably thrown just as many balls of strikes, so, like, I get it. But I think that he would have shined in a redemption start. So they'll be back. The baby Braves
will
be back.
You got the crew in seven, you said?
Yes.
Crew in seven. No, I got didn't I say this to you?
You do know that they've won 11 straight games. Like, it might be less. I just want to give myself some wiggle room.
Yeah. I've got Los Doyers in six.
You do?
I'm going Dodgers in five.
Jesus.
Wow.
This is not the 2017 Dodgers, though.
I think the starting rotation advantage and the degree to which Milwaukee has leaned on its bullpen is going to be the difference. Like, I'm with Dallas. I think there's a decent chance we look back on this postseason as the Clayton Kershaw legacy redemption tour. When it's all said and done, I think him, Bueller, and Ryu is a massive advantage for the Dodgers. I also don't think their bullpen is quite the issue that it may seem like. If you go back to over their last 145 innings, including the postseason, they have a 2.73 ERA and are striking out about 10.5 batters per. Like, I think this is it's not the Brewers bullpen, but I think it's a better group. This is not an objective factor, but subjectively, you guys said, or Jared said, that you're just kind of sick of the Dodgers, like you got over the Cubs. And I get that. But my argument for why the Dodgers are different than, like, arguably three of the most interesting players on the Dodgers right now had nothing to do with the team last year: Machado, Muncy, and Walker Buehler.
That's fair.
And like, to me, that makes it feel to a degree like I'm tuning in for a new team. So I don't know. Yeah, but I'm going Dodgers in five.
That's aggressive. I respect the fact that Jay Hay just fucking puts it all out there, but I mean, they're not. If the Brewers lose a series in five games, I will accept the terms of whatever bet you'd like to make.
Okay.
Whoa.
That's interesting.
That's interesting. We'll talk about it. We'll discuss your terms.
One useless nugget before we move on.
Yeah.
That we can trot out if something happens to sound smart is in his career, Christian Yelich, 9-for-17 with two homers against Kershaw.
That's pretty good.
That's a batting average over 500 for those of you.
Yeah.
Who don't
left
do
on
that.
Left.
Yeah, lefty. Ooh, you don't give a fuck about lefties. I'm pretty sure. He's done pretty well against lefties this year. So we'll see. Because I think a lot of people are just they're looking at the laundry. They're not looking at the whole scope of this. Like, oh, the Dodgers against the Brewers. It's like, yeah, it's not. We're not the Brewers anymore. We're the fucking Brewers. We're the Brewers now. So we put some fucking respect on our names. 11 straight goddamn wins. See you in the NLCS. Jay Hay, post-mortem Indians. Do you have any thoughts? Would you like to say a few words?
I don't recall getting this irrationally emotional about them or any sports outcome like I did in this series in quite a long time. I was saying things like, they're all losers. They should all go home. I'm done with this team. Things that like, you know, 72 hours later feel a little foolish, but it was an exceedingly frustrating series. Dallas, I know you saw the tweet last night. The article that suggested that the Indians were completely and totally outgunned and was really disappointing. That, you know, Clevinger came in and he basically said, like, we felt like analytically our backs were up against the wall before the game even started, or the series even started. And
that's tough. That is insane to think about, Jay Hay.
Especially, like, this isn't the Royals. This isn't the Reds. Like, this isn't the Rockies, who have, you know, all those teams have been to a degree slow to adopt a lot of this stuff. This is the Indians, who have supposedly been at or near the forefront of this sort of stuff for the better part of 25 years. And the idea that, I mean, we all know the Astros are probably the kings of this game presently. But to know that the gap was like that, or to think that the gap was like that, because to some extent, maybe Dallas, you can speak to this, to some extent, it doesn't actually matter whether the gap was that great. The idea that the perception existed that the gap was that great among Indians players, I'm sure Clevinger was not just speaking for himself, that's equally as troubling to me.
Well, what's weird to think about is you're talking about a player vocalizing a potential lack of information in terms of preparing for the biggest game of the season or the biggest series of the season. And that's what's really head scratching, is because what, players come from two camps, right? Give me the information or fuck your information. And for a player to feel like they didn't have the information, that hurts, because you've got to be able to, like, I mean, come on, man. 10 years ago, I myself was able to go back and get all the information that I needed with the lowly Oakland A's. You know what I mean? Like, that can't be a thing. That just cannot be a thing. So that hurts, man. That really hurts to think that a team was so ill-prepared as far as matchups are concerned or numbers are concerned. But I will end it with this, and players aren't going to like this, but it is what it is. Do your fucking homework, Sunshine. Do your homework. I got so much love for Clev and a lot of those dudes on that team, but you got to do your homework, brother. You got to. Like, I'll say this about the pitcher-catcher relationship, and I'll say this to anybody, right to their face, Mr. Johnny Bench himself. If I'm relying on Johnny Bench to get me through a lineup, I'm not doing myself any favors. And you're going, hold on, what does that mean? You're Dallas fucking Braden. We're talking about Johnny Bench. Yeah, Johnny Bench gets paid to catch the ball, but he also gets paid to hit the ball and run the bases and do other things. You want to know what I get paid to do? To get fucking outs. And that's it. I get paid to get outs. So I should have the information. And my catcher should be the sounding board, and he should be preparing as well, because he's a professional and that's what he'll do. But ultimately, I believe the onus falls on the man who has the ball in his hand, because the action doesn't start or stop without your say-so, which means you should ultimately be prepared. And that's why I tweeted out, if he just didn't have the information accessible, that's fucked up. That's not cool. And he needs to be able to be shown how to mine information, how to look for some of the stuff that he might feel is important to him. He needs to be shown that. And if he's not being shown that and he doesn't have access to that, that's horrible.
If he's not being shown that, Tito, call me.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Like, you, Justin Havens, I'm sure, would have no issue preparing any sort of informational packet for the starting pitching staff of the Cleveland Indians, or anybody on the Cleveland Indians for that matter, if it meant them feeling like they had just a little bit more preparation under their belt. Right.
That's
tough. So I'm not banging Clev at all. I'm just saying, you know what, man, I feel you, because that's gotta be a very naked feeling to feel like you just don't have the information, or you're just not prepared the way your opponent is. And that sucks, man. It sucks.
Let me also say this too. and I'm not much for like thinking that, hey, a guy doesn't have what it takes to perform in a particular situation. Like, I think the vast majority of that kind of commentary is bunk, but it has been so frustrating to watch Corey Kluber throw 220 or 230 innings worth of ace level baseball during the regular season. And then it might not occur in the DS every year, but in what amounts to the biggest moments of his season that year, he comes up really small, man. Like,
and I was gonna ask you, Jay Hate, is there any Kershaw to Kluber?
I don't know, because I don't really like. I try not to buy into that talking point with Kershaw either, but like, I looked it up. In his regular season career, Corey Kluber allows a home run about once every 10 innings, over 10, like 10.2. And in the postseason, he's averaging a home run allowed every 4.5 innings. It's like it's more than double the rate. He allowed 3 homers in 4 2/3 in his start against in the divisional series against the Astros. It's just like it made me feel like I was watching Charles Nagy as like a 10-year-old or an 11-year-old all over again. And obviously with way better stuff than Nagy had, but that's besides the point.
Yeah, because that's a 5.8 home run per 9. Ratio. Okay.
That's not going to work, dude. That's not going to work. But yeah, very frustrating. But it turns out that, the team that they weren't necessarily under the radar. They maybe were just not as good as the other 3 teams in the AL.
Well, yeah. I don't, that's the thing or about the Indians was that I believed that they could flip the switch.
They're
took
supposed
the record
to be good.
Out
They've got the pitching staff to be good.
They won 105 games last year.
They just needed to do it. That's all. Yeah. And he didn't. Kluber didn't. That's the bottom line.
Like, I don't. When evaluating the Cleveland Indians in 2018, I took the record out of it because, not even on paper, just use your fucking eyes. Watching the Cleveland Indians this year, the Cleveland Indians won 105 games last year, 91 games this year. But I felt like this was a better team than last year's team.
Michael Brantley was
back. Trevor Bauer was a Cy Young candidate on top of the other fucking guys that you were 4 deep in that rotation. You had Jose Ramirez as an MVP candidate. Yeah, this team was better than last year's team that won 105 games. So I was like, mentally, yes, last year had a better record, but this Cleveland Indians team, they were just better. That's why I thought they would put up more of a fight. It was disappointing. It was disappointing. I'm not going to sit here and say that the Indians rolled over. At the end of the day, the Astros, sure, they're the better team. I expected more in terms of the fight that they were going to put up.
Well, now that we're on to this topic, we're opening up all sorts of avenues for me, and I'm just going to take them. It is very frustrating for, like, objectively, this Cleveland Indians rotation is probably the best or whatever the rotation over the last 2 to 3 year run is probably the best rotation I will see by an Indians team in my lifetime, because it's the best rotation my dad has seen for an Indians team in his lifetime. And he's 66 years old, just objectively, the statistics bear it out. And we're now on like the third straight postseason where that vaunted pitching staff has not been fully intact by the time the most important games actually roll around. Like, when Salazar was relevant, Salazar wasn't around. Trevor Bauer cut his hand on the fucking,
drone.
I'm blanking. Oh, the drone. Yeah, I was blanking on the term. Cut his hand on the drone. This time Trevor Bauer was pitching out of the bullpen and was not the same contributor that he was during the regular season, when you can argue that he was the very best pitcher that the Indians had. I also thought it was fitting that in the game where they ended up losing and getting swept out of the series, that you had basically every relief pitcher who was supposed to be integral to this team's success getting beat up. Cody Allen, who regressed severely this year, got knocked around. Andrew Miller, in arguably the biggest spot any pitcher had in the entire series for the Indians, blew it in game one. And Brad Hand, when the game was mostly already out of hand anyway, allowed a home run that I believe to Correa that just kind of iced the whole thing anyway. It was just like, It was so frustrating to see. And Jose Ramirez, like, where have you been in the last month and a half of the season? Like, he was a legitimate AL MVP candidate when we were talking in like early August and mid August, and all of like the final month and a half of the season, and including the postseason, he was basically a non-factor. It was exceedingly frustrating on so many levels. Much more so, it was more frustrating. The end of this season was more frustrating than when they lost the World Series, to be totally honest with you.
I feel that. I feel that, because at least if you go to the World Series and lose in a seventh game,
so
I mean, the other team,
they rolled over. They rolled over.
I don't think that they rolled over, but because if that implies that they gave up, I don't think that they weren't trying their best. It was just flat out disappointing. Because what Jay Hay is trying to say is that, yeah, like this was more disappointing than losing in the World Series. But like when they lost in Game 7, the Cubs aren't playing tomorrow either. Season's over. Like, tip your cap. You know, the Cubs won the World Series fair and square. It's a great story. At least you can feel good for their fans. When you have four fucking starting pitchers that have 200 strikeouts and an MVP candidate. And like when we were debating like a month ago about, you know, two position players, you know, which one would you go with if you could take two position players from the Indians or two position players from the Astros, and what combination would they be? I mean, Jose Ramirez and Francisco Lindor would have probably been quite a popular answer amongst any baseball fan of any team. I'm not one of these guys that's going to sit here and say that the Indians' window is closing, but it does seem like every year they keep taking steps backwards, even though, I mean, the talent is equal to or greater than the fucking team that went to the World Series, Game 7. So that's the frustrating part. Is we're going to continue to get better. Like, guys like, you know, when they went to the World Series in 2016, Carrasco was hurt, Salazar was hurt, Bauer was not what he is now. And you've now taken steps forward with these players, and you have the emergence of Lindor being the superstar that you hoped that he would become, and Jose Ramirez, like Jay Hay said, up until the last month and a half of the season, a legit threat to win the American League MVP award. So I'm with you, Jay Hay. I can't even imagine how frustrating that must be.
Enough about these losers. Let's talk about teams that were good enough to keep playing.
that's sad, but it's classy of you, Jay Hay, to put the spotlight on the Houston Astros, who did win that series in a convincing fashion. They are moving on. They will not have home field because the Red Sox clinched home field with a 108-win season. The Astros, so I wrote about Alex Bregman on Wednesday, and I love a good underdog story. I feel like his is one. 24 years old this year, was drafted in the first round, second overall pick, and I completely forgot about this. The day that Bregman was drafted was the day that Carlos Correa made his major league debut. So when you're taken as a shortstop in the draft, and then the whole time everyone's going to be telling you, like, yeah, man, you know, first round, second overall pick, that's great, but you're a shortstop and they already got one up there, so you're blocked, you're probably going to get traded, you know, unless you want to change positions. But some guys, if you're a first rounder, second overall, you might have an ego on you. You might be like, no, fuck you, I'm a shortstop, trade me, like, I want to play shortstop. My allegiance isn't to the Houston Astros. I've been here for 10 minutes. Who gives a fuck? Like, trade me to someone that wants to put me at the position that I play naturally. But instead, Bregman switches to third base, still plays a little bit of shortstop, but and he makes his way to the major league roster, makes his way in, and wins a World Series title. But when they were talking about that Astros team last year, it's like, oh, George Springer's on the cover. Look at Carlos Correa, Jose Altuve. He's our MVP and batting champion. Justin Verlander's got an MVP too, and he's got a Cy Young Award. There wasn't a whole lot of talk about Bregman last year. I think he adopted the unsung hero role last year, and now he's stepping out as statistically the best player on the Houston Astros. So I hope that he gets more shine. He already is getting more shine. He's the only player with an OPS over 2,000 in this year's playoffs. So people will come to learn that a 24-year-old Alex Bregman is no longer just one of the guys. He's kind of become like the guy there.
There's no doubt about that. Every team has a different type of leader, and they have different types of leaders. They have the guys who go about their business quietly. They have the guys who are the vocal leaders, and the production on the field doesn't necessarily matter in terms of who is that leader. It always helps when the guy is performing well. What I'm getting at is you can have a veteran who might see the field once or twice a week, but you just know he's the captain, a la David Wright and his status in the Mets clubhouse for the better part of the remainder of his career, right? So Alex Bregman is the guy who's unapologetic, doesn't care what you think about him, is going to chirp you if you chirp him. He's coming at you if you come at him. He just doesn't give a fuck. And he's good, and he knows it, and his drive is to just get better every day. I want to be the best. I'm really good. I want to be better than that. And it's contagious. It's contagious in that clubhouse. But what he represents is the guy who's willing to take all the bullets for the team. You want to say, fuck this team? Go ahead. I'll wear it. You can talk shit to me. All good. No problem. I'll be the guy who runs my mouth and is sending out the fucking ridiculous snaps and is fucking with people on Twitter. I'll be that guy. I don't care. I don't care because I'm good. I don't need the validation of these people. I'm not worried about what they have to say. I'm going to ball, and that's going to be that. And that's kind of that's what's happened. He has that approach on the baseball field. Like, you're not going to beat me in. You're not going to beat me away with two strikes. Like, they're just his whole demeanor on the field. I fucking love every minute of it. Every minute of it.
Yeah, he is he's a special player, and he's already made an impact in not one but two postseasons. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes because these are the two best teams in baseball. I don't want to like disrespect the Dodgers and the Brewers, but the ALCS is the World Series.
Yeah, I'll say this about
pretty much.
I'll say this about Bregman too. You know, for all the talk that we do about marketing players and faces of the game and stuff like that, like
that's a guy you can get behind.
He is fully embracing. Not only can you get behind him, but he's embracing that role. It seems like too. Like he's very out there. He's very engaged on social media. That quote that he gave about not the Astros being disrespected by not playing in prime time. Like, I love the way that was delivered because it was 100% serious, but it was said in a way, and then he laughed at the end and like tapped the guy on the chest, right? Like, oh yeah, I'm just messing around. But no, he was 100% serious, and the message was probably delivered. I just think it's cool. I just think it's cool that there's a guy willing to vocalize that and to be kind of like the, I'm going to hit a home run and I'm going to be in your face about it. I'm going to go find the camera in the dugout and I'm going to give you the reaction that you're looking for. I think, you know, maybe it gets played out 10 years from now, but I think it's refreshing now.
No, and baseball is so tough to be that type of personality because it is a game built on failure. And whether or not you understand that as a layman fan, the eyeball test after a while, if you watch the series, the eyeball test will tell you who's playing well and who's not, who's getting the hits and who's not, who the camera's on and who it's not. And Alex Bregman is taking full advantage of him being a guy who's welcoming of this attention and also a guy who's deserving of this attention because he's performing well. So he's playing well and he's doing it well on the other side of the camera. To your point, Jay Hay, just kind of engaging, looking into the camera, telling, you know, asking those rhetorical questions like, isn't it for prime time? The best, don't you want the best teams in prime time? Like, I don't know, we're the World Series champs. Maybe that's just me. I don't know. But we'll see that in the ALCS. Boom. Thanks for coming.
Sorry, before we move on to actually previewing the ALCS, now that we're on Bregman, it reminded me, I believe our question for the Astros when we did our world famous segment, The Hut Seat, was when we look back on all of their careers, will Alex Bregman be viewed as the best player in the Correa, Altuve, Springer, Bregman core?
And you said yes.
Well, no, I'm not. This has nothing to do with me. I want your guys' take. Like, do you guys feel more strongly about that now? Do you think Bregman is going to be the best of this group when it's all said and done?
No, I still think Altuve.
Okay.
You That's do?
But I do.
It's objective of you.
I do. I do think I do think it'll be Altuve, because Alex Bregman is a guy who I think could have a 200-plus hit season, and then he could go for 160 the next time. I could see Altuve stringing together, you know, barring health, I could see Altuve just being a tick above as far as consistency over his career.
Huh. All right, that's fair. I just wanted to throw it out there because it popped back into my head.
Yeah, because, I mean, Altuve, because what Altuve this year just kind of had that season I'm talking about, right? What did he put together, like 3 or 4 years of 200 knocks
hits,
and then and then like 170, 175 hits or some shit?
Yeah, 169 this year.
That's decent.
That's nice.
So
not terrible.
Yeah.
That's not bad. Let's talk about that series, though. Let's talk about that series because I don't think it's weird, right? That am I living in my bubble that no one is giving the Red Sox a chance to win the series? Everyone just keeps saying, like, oh, welcome to the buzzsaw that is the Houston Astros. Thanks for coming out. Is there?
Oh,
are you guys hearing
I think
the same thing?
That's a bubble.
It, you
I think
do?
That's a bubble. Yeah.
You think
Yeah. No. Well, how can you look? You cannot not give the Red Sox an opportunity.
I mean, of course they have a chance, but. I feel like not many people are picking the Red Sox to win this series.
The difference is everybody – look, what the regular season showed us, what the postseason is showing us, thank God, is you want to know what's still really important in the game of baseball?
What's that?
Having a starting rotation.
It's pretty good.
Having starting pitching.
Yeah, that's fair.
That actually matters. That actually helps. And it's not odd that, Jared, I think – those living in that bubble with you would probably start with the starting rotation as a difference maker between these two clubs.
Yeah.
And that is why I think initially you might feel like nobody's giving the Red Sox an opportunity, because are you going to like take Chris Sale and pick Jared who you would want him to face, giving him the best opportunity? Like, you're being asked to choose between Garrett Cole, Justin Verlander, Dallas Keuchel, some fucking guys. I mean, is Lance McCullers going to be ran out there?
Yeah.
Because it's a seven-game piece?
And he's got the experience.
You know?
And he's done well in those situations.
So, take your pick, Charlie Morton. Like, Charlie Morton might be the guy you try to pick on.
I mean,
I don't know.
The Red Sox took Chuck Morton to the woodshed when he was like top three in the league in ERA in Houston. So
you take Chris Sale and you match him up against Charlie Morton, and then you got the rest of those fucking beasts that I just mentioned. And
that
you're going to
think
feed...
too is that I'm pretty sure. I mean, the Red Sox played well against the Astros in Houston. They had a 4-game set in Houston. And then they played each other at Fenway Park, and the Red Sox walked them off there. I think they split in Houston. And the games, they lost the first two games, and then they won two games that were started by Garrett Cole and Justin Verlander. So they can be beat. You're not going to beat – you might not beat those guys handedly, but
well,
you can
fine
win games that are started by those guys for sure.
Yes, yes. And then, again, that's where we get into the PFT section of
the
this.
The bullpen.
You got it.
So I went back and looked at the Astros bullpen since they acquired Roberto Osuna, or basically since he made his Astros debut, which was on August 6th. The Red Sox rank 19th in bullpen ERA since August 6th. Would you like to take a stab at where the Astros bullpen ranks over that span?
I'm going to say fourth.
Second in Major League Baseball, first in the American League. Yeah. So it pays to acquire domestic
it?
Abusers.
Is he?
Yeah, I would say what? So.
Wasn't it dropped?
Not dropped.
What did he sign? He signed a. He basically signed what amounts to a.
I did it.
Yeah.
You did it. What? Oh yeah.
No,
yeah,
I'm
exactly.
saying it more. I mean, I don't know Canadian law. Huh. Like perhaps I should to be commenting on it, but my understanding was that it was. It wasn't so much I'm innocent. It's can we move this along sort of thing.
Okay. And that
I believe she was no longer willing to travel to Canada to testify.
Yeah. So, for the 7 seconds we need to be serious here. Nobody believes that Roberto Osuna is not guilty of what he did.
Correct. So, why am I drawing a blank here? Who's the last dude to just... Oh, fucking Addison Russell.
Chapman?
Russell just got 40 games. Osuna got 80.
80.
MLB's seen some shit that was like, you did it.
Yeah.
You did it. Yeah, you're not a good person. You get 80 games. But yeah, the Astros bullpen, obviously those numbers are not all because of one pitcher. So I think a lot of people sleep on Houston's bullpen. They are good. I'm not going to say they're great. I mean, if you were going to ask me which bullpen out of the teams remaining in the postseason, if it was like a fantasy baseball thing where you can pick an entire bullpen, which one are you going with? I'm taking the Brewers.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
So
yeah, I don't know that there's really even a question there.
But I mean, the numbers don't lie. Since
Osuna got there, they've been dominant. Because what the Astros also have, Carrabas, is a guy named Brad. Peacock. Mm-hmm. Brad Peacock. Mm-hmm. Pretty fucking dazzling last year, huh?
Give you innings.
Pretty special. So him, Colin McHugh, I mean, these are guys, those are big ticket items because both of these guys are former starters and they can give you length. They can dominate in a short burst as well. I think that I feel like the Astros might have the upper hand.
You do?
In the bullpen category, yes.
Well, yeah, of course they do. Yeah, I would give them the nod. I would give them the nod in the bullpen. I would give the Red Sox the nod offensively, even though it's very close. But the numbers
very
don't
close.
Lie. It's very close.
Very
close. Numbers do not lie. And then in the rotation, I don't know. I feel like it's the Astros. Astros.
Yeah. There's no doubt about that.
Well, I mean, fucking Nathan Eovaldi pitches like he did in Yankee Stadium.
Hey, easy guy. Easy.
Rick Porcello looked pretty good. And
you can't just go running. Can't just go running Eovaldi out there with the likes of a Garrett Cole or the
throws 100, paints it.
I get it.
He's not the name, but we're talking about results. Let's talk about results.
Yeah, he had a great game. He had a great game.
He had a great year when he got to the Red Sox.
And Alex Cora did a great job. I was saying it along with him at AC. This motherfucker keep giving him the rock. Run him out there. Mm-hmm. Run him out there. You got the lead. But Eovaldi can be shaky as well. He can get wild. He can get erratic with the fastball, and if he can't reel that in, that can be problematic.
Jay,
Rick Porcello. I saw this floating around Twitter last night. Rick Porcello's full name is Frederick Alfred Porcello. Did you know that?
Sure
did. Basically, so his name is Fred Porcello.
Oh yeah, big time Fred guy.
Fred double Freds.
Fred Porcello.
Fred.
Wow.
Fred.
You and Peralt can use that over at starting section 10 if you want.
Fred.
One of your nickname things, no problem. hey, my thing to watch. My thing to watch in this series, okay? Mm-hmm. The Indians and the Red Sox during the regular season were two of the teams that were best at hitting high velocity, okay? And those two teams ranked in the top five in more or less every category that you would want against, 95 miles an hour or greater. And the Indians' ability to hit velocity was completely exposed for whatever reason by the Astros in the first in the DS. So I'm interested to see whether the Red Sox success at hitting velocity and really premier velocity as it relates to the Astros will hold up and continue from what it was in the regular season, unlike what happened to the Indians.
What type of data are you looking at? High velocity? You talking 95 plus?
Yeah, I picked 95 plus. Okay. But you can, I mean, that's arbitrary. If you do 94, 96, the same method, you know, the same picture appears.
Yeah, I would say 95 is probably where I would make my cutoff for high velocity in today's game. In today's game.
Watching Mookie and JD battle against, you know, Gerrit Cole and Justin Verlander, I mean, this is really as good as it gets.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited. I feel like this series feels like six to me. I got Sox and six.
Oh, weird. Didn't see that coming.
I got Sox and six. I got a Brew Crew Red Sox World Series.
Oh, man.
The year of the Rocket continues.
I got the Astros in seven. Yeah, I just feel like the starting pitching does enough. And I feel like it going seven, we see a Verlander type performance where he comes back, gives you two solid outings, and you're like, you know what? This fucking guy he tasted it last year, and he ain't fucking giving up, is he? He is relentless.
My favorite part of the postseason last year was after the Astros won the World Series and they were partying in the clubhouse.
Bregman didn't realize that Verlander was coming back for another year.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah, Bregman.
You got him again?
We found out in real time, Bregman realizing that Verlander wasn't a rental. Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that what he said?
He's like, what? We got you for three more years? What?
Mail the trophy. Yeah. Fucking
great. Jay, predictions for this series?
I don't feel very confident about this, but I'm going to go Red Sox in seven.
Red Sox in seven. So we have two Red Sox picks to go to the World Series.
You know why?
Why?
Because my boy AC is on the ones and twos.
That's right.
And I am I think it's a mistake to read too much into, you know, single series managerial performances. But I will say that it seemed like Alex hit all of the right buttons in that series against the Yankees season with. What's that?
All right, Jay. Hey, God damn it. You swayed me.
Dallas.
I'm going with Jay. Hey, Boston in seven. Boston in seven. I'm off the Astros. I'm on the Red Sox. Boston in seven. And it's because you just swayed me, Jay. Hey, because I actually have written down here in my notes. And I will read it verbatim just so that you know that I'm not lying here. It says, Sox have to have Cora press the right buttons like he did in DS. Buttons with Holt, Devers, Moreland, Pierce. So because Alex Cora has shown the world what he can do with the resources he has, and because he's shown the world his baseball IQ, something you and I, Jay Hay, have been knowledgeable of for a while now, I fuck it. Absolutely. Let's go.
Yeah.
Out for a baseball IQ up against AJ Hinch and that fucking Stanford IQ. Let's fucking go.
Wow. We got
a Red Sox Dodgers World Series, also known as a baseball journalist traveling nightmare.
That's why it's going to be the Brew Crew. I've already made traveling arrangements and things of that nature.
Hopefully they're refundable.
By traveling arrangements, all I did was I asked Travis Shaw what there is to do in Milwaukee besides go to the games. Nothing. Literally nothing. So we're going to need suggestions from the grounds crew on what to do when I'm in Milwaukee for the World Series. And I want to make a trip out there for the NLCS. I feel like that'd be cool. I would have a blast going there for the NLCS. So we'll see if that works out. Dallas, I'd love you to join me. Jay Hay, the invite is also extended to you as well. It could be a dandy little time.
I'll be on a bird to Beantown, Carabas, here very soon.
Yeah, I'll see you this weekend, huh?
Yeah, you're going to be at the game, right?
Oh, for sure. I'll be there. Oh, fuck. I gotta apply for my Big J passes.
Yeah.
I just remember that. I got to do that right now. Let me pull up that tab before I forget. I mean, they treat that shit like the White House now. Like, usually during the regular season, I have a media pass, but I'll walk in, get the pass. I can just walk out onto the field, hang out in the dugout, and I'm probably the only guy around because all the other fucking mouth-breathing journalists are in the clubhouse bothering the guys that are just trying to, like, fucking, like, walk around in their towels. Yeah. But this time, it's like, you got to, like, scan this thing at the gate. You got to go through security. You got to scan it again to get on the field. There's all kinds of shit all over the place. And this was the most disappointing part of my season, Dallas. The moment where I was like, was when, obviously, there's increased media presence for the division series, Red Sox-Yankees. It was the most media I've seen there since David Ortiz's last game. So I go on the field for game one. It had to have been. Game one of the division series. And I'm standing where I usually stand in front of the Red Sox dugout. And I see all these fucking people, like, going, like, right up to, like, behind home plate to watch batting practice. They're, like, right there. Like, kind of like where we were in Oakland. And I looked at the security guards, and I was like, wait, could I have been doing that all year? And they're like, yeah, dude. Like, you can go right up to, like, where they're taking batting practice. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I've been, like, watching batting practice from the goddamn dugout all season long. I would have loved to have been by the cage the entire time.
Yeah.
Because you were doing it at Yankee Stadium for the wild card game.
Yeah, I mean, it also, you know, I happen to have played on that
I
field.
This is Dallas's favorite line. Like, whenever we talk about, like, competing, like, athletically and seeing if I can, like, match him in like, physical strength or talent. He's like, Carabas, I think you forget that I actually played this game professionally. Like, I got paid to do this. I don't know if you remember that, Carabas. That's what he used to do. That's fucking Dallas in a nutshell. Like,
that might be your best. That's good.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
because
it's fucking factual.
That's true,
right?
That's true.
And I happen to know the manager of the New York Yankees, and I happen to
know. I do too. I call them out on this particular program.
I happen to know the individuals who were calling the baseball game for the world to see.
Was Boog Shambi there that night?
Yeah, Boog was there.
Yeah, he was at game one. He's a fantastic human being.
Yeah, so I was chopping it up with Boog and Booney behind the cage. Yeah. Also was talking to Marcus Timms. We had a good conversation. We actually relived a moment where I had an at bat against Marcus Timms where I broke four or five bats in one at bat. And like after three in a row, the guys in the dugout like went and grabbed the bats and they're like, nah,
no,
fucking, you're done.
You ain't grabbing my fucking bat.
No. Pretty funny. But yeah, got to talk to those guys. You're missing out, bud.
I am.
You're missing out.
I know. Well, next year. We'll get them next year. I'll be there. Well, actually, no. I'll be there for the fucking ALCS. My season ain't over, dog.
There you go. All right. So where am I? What am I doing? Where am I taking Hubs in Boston?
It depends. So here's the thing.
That's what we got to figure out. Like, because I could go down on the field with you and hang out on the field with you and do all that jazz pregame. And then when the game starts, I'll just drag Hubs in full Yankee uni over across the street to a bar.
Yep.
Hopefully that will maybe, I don't know if we can let them know we're coming so we have a seat, you know, so we can get there. Because I know it's going to be, you know, it's going to be maniacal. I'm not expecting to be accommodated. Mm-hmm. I just would, you know, maybe if Dave or you, if anybody's got any pull over there, if the Rocket can grease the wheels and let them know what's going down.
Yeah, the Rocket's got his spot outside of Fenway.
Yeah, so... Oh, yeah. So is this the spot that you'll be going to after game one?
Yep. I go there after every game. I have my own corner. I basically have my own. Yeah, I have my own. You can have my spot for the game because I won't be there. I'll be at the game. But here's the thing. Game two, Sunday, Red Sox will be going up against the Patriots.
Ooh.
Yeah. Still a football town. So
still a football.
Yeah. I mean, but I'm sure, like, wherever you go, there's going to be – the Red Sox game will be on, but there will be a lot of people with, like, Patriots jerseys, Red Sox hats on.
That's fine. It's going to be 2 days of me just badgering Hubs.
Yes.
And me – well, actually, it's going to be 2 days of me allowing – the great fans of Boston to speak their piece to Hubs.
Correct. And Saturday, live show. I don't know where it'll be, but we will not have another podcast before the live show. So follow Dallas on Twitter, myself on Twitter. I will be tweeting and check BarstoolSports.com. Once we have the information, we'll hit you live with it. The Section 10 live show, we had 48 hours notice, and we still banged the place out. There was a line out the door an hour before the show, and they were at capacity by the time the show started. So I'm counting on the listeners, the grounds crew, to wherever we choose to go, whatever the venue is, whatever time slot we pick. I don't know what the fuck is going on in the office, but it's very loud. We're counting on you guys to show up and support, and we'll have Hubs up on stage with his little dunce cap on.
Yep, full uni dunce cap as well. It's going to be great.
Yes. So we've all heard that Dave was given a free seat in FanDuel's World Fantasy Football Championship, where he'll be one of 75 people trying to take home the $500,000 grand prize. You mad about it? Well, he's giving you, all the stoolies, a chance to steal some of his WFFC winnings. Here's how it works. Just enter his hashtag Beat Dave contest this week for just $1. If you beat him and everyone else, you'll get 5% of whatever Dave wins at the WFFC. So if he takes home the grand prize, you'll take home $25,000. But if he wins this week's contest, he gets to keep his WFFC winnings. Just go to FanDuel.com/BeatDave to enter now and hashtag Beat Dave. Now, Dave's not the only one playing on FanDuel. We're all playing all season long, and we're taking over FanDuel. We need every stoolie to come play with us. So if you haven't started playing, what are you waiting for? Plus, new users get a $5 bonus when they make their first deposit on FanDuel. Come play with me at FanDuel.com/BeatDave. That's FanDuel.com/BeatDave. New users only. Bonus not available for withdrawal. State and age restrictions apply. For full eligibility rules and terms and conditions, go to FanDuel.com. Jay Hay.
What's up, dog?
Trying to play some Pepper Dog?
Oh, always. Always.
I know you are. That was a test. You passed.
Yes.
You always do. That's why I come up here. That's why I come up here. Kevin Cash, the Rays. Multi-year extension through 2024 for Kevin Cash. Not a surprise at all. I mean, that's the guy you want to put in place. No one was talking about how good the Rays were. That was like an April or May take of mine. When the Red Sox were piling up their wins against the Tampa Bay Rays, and you had Yankee fans and whoever else being like, oh, yeah, well, they beat the Rays a bunch of times. Like, the Rays are a good team. And the whole bullpenning thing that was instituted mostly this year, I remember Brian Kenny talking about that last year. He wanted the Yankees to do it in the wild card game, but they instead went with Luis Severino, who pitched a third of an inning, and they ended up doing it anyway against the Minnesota Twins. They win the game, and Brian Kenny walks away with, you know Brian Kenny. I mean, he's a big baseball stats guy, and
he talking.
can't be wrong about anything. Shout out Brian Kenny. But, yeah, I think that the idea of bullpenning being used in a game like that, we're going to see that more often. And then Kevin Cash going out and being like, yeah, you know, we got four starters, then we got a fucking bullpen game. And it's worked for Tampa. They won 90 games this year. Kevin Cash gets a well-deserved extension for his efforts this season, despite not making it to the postseason. He would, however, have made it to the postseason if he were in several other divisions in the National League, plus the wild card picture. You're talking about a playoff team with the efforts that the Tampa Bay Rays have put in 2018. Also, I love the fact that the Terry Francona coaching tree continues to grow. in the game of baseball. You got a lot of guys that were from underneath Terry Francona having great success at the major league level. So shout out Kevin Cash for his extension. Dallas, you have any thoughts?
Well, just his, obviously, because he's a pitching guy, right?
Oh, yeah.
So that's going to be important for the Rays moving forward. They've got a nice piece in Blake Snell. They're going to clearly need to continue to evolve in that area. And I think when you give him the task of trying to figure out how to manipulate a rotation and a bullpen, because what he had to do is figure out how to handle not a starting rotation and not a bullpen. He had to figure out how to handle starting rotations and bullpens, meaning the guys that were making the trip up and down between AAA and the big leagues, the guys who were hitting the DL, whatever in between, they're trying to find guys days off. He's got more than just one group of people to manage. He's paying attention to how guys in AAA are being taken care of, how they're being utilized, because this approach isn't just occurring at the big league level and only occurring at the big league level. It has to happen throughout the organization in order to have guys that are ready to perform in these roles. And you have to have somebody who knows how to manipulate these individuals and how to, dare I say, manage these individuals. Mm-hmm. So when you're running out a new approach in a new era of this game, it also takes a new forward-thinking, progressive thought process at the forefront of that. That's what Kevin Cash represents for the Tampa Bay Rays, is a baseball guy, a baseball mind from a wonderful baseball tree, as you mentioned, Carrabas, and he knows how to manage the game and he knows how to manage his players and his resources specifically. So this is an in-house guy, clearly not a better fit. So I'm excited to see what he can do moving forward.
Yeah.
And because what this deal does is it represents a time frame in which the Tampa Bay Rays will no longer see revenue sharing, mm-hmm. where they will be forced with other teams, my Oakland A's as well, to either shit or get off the pot. Mm-hmm. One of the two, motherfucker, but we're all out of toilet paper, so figure it out.
Yeah.
But and I think this is an interesting kind of juxtaposition between him and Molitor on the phenomenon of hiring managers without previous managerial experience, because like Cash will be held up as a guy where, oh, you know, it doesn't matter if you don't have any experience. Look at what Kevin Cash has done with the Rays. Well, that's only true, right? If you are able to not only understand and execute the vision that the front office is trying to pass along, but that you can sell that to the group of players and have them buy it in as kind of like their own idea or the coaching staff's own idea. And it seems like the Rays, for, you know, they do a lot of things well, but one of the things that it seems like they have now appropriately set up is a communication line between the front office and the coaching staff, where the front office's game plan is being implemented and it's being bought into by the roster as a whole.
Yes, and look, here's what a manager or a staff member can represent in a clubhouse and to players is there's a term we use called pipeline. And that means if we're sitting around the cage, Carrabas, or we're doing soft toss, we're getting work in, and you're the hitting coach, and I'm venting to you about a lack of playing time, or I'm venting to you about my place in the order, my place in the lineup, and then 2 days later, I have a conversation with the skipper about where I'm hitting in the lineup and how I'm being. I know that you're a fucking pipeline, and I know that I can no longer trust you, and I can't trust our time in the cage as a place of solitude and safety and security. I now look at you like you're a pipeline to the fucking manager and you're a pipeline to the front office. Everything I'm going to say, you're just carrying water. So you're out. Fuck you. Well, now Kevin Cash is somebody that these guys are like, yo, he does have the ear of the front office, but we also know he's a baseball guy. We also know he cares about us. Mm-hmm. So he's done a good job of creating the relationships that say, this is a father, son, big brother, uncle, nephew, whatever relationship you want to see this as. I got your back, bro. I got your back. I'm not here to sell anybody out. And he's done a great job of that.
Speaking of the Terry Francona tree, I saw this on the walk over here. It's kind of like it's a developing story. David Ross might be interviewing for the opening Twins managerial position. So,
really?
That would be interesting, to say the least. I don't know why. I mean, I think he'd be great at it, but, I mean, homeboy just retired, went out on top, won a World Series with the Cubs, retired a hero. He's got a nice gig doing his ESPN thing. You know, I don't know. Maybe you just miss it. Maybe you just miss the 162, the grind of the full season. Some guys just, you know, they don't want to get away from it. But I don't know. I mean, it's interesting to say the least. I would say I love Rossi.
That's what's interesting is he seemed to be ready for dad time. You know, he seemed to be ready to be a family man.
Yeah.
And but you know, again, if your team is at home and you've got your family with you, you're coming home to your family.
Yeah.
As opposed to just constantly being on the road. Look, man, Gravis, there's just this game. When you truly are married to this game, man, you know that this is your lifeline.
Yes.
This is water.
But he can still quench the thirst by doing the ESPN gig. So here's how I feel about just beloved players becoming managers. So when Jason Varitek was rumored to be the next Red Sox manager, I was like, I don't want to see it. I think he'd be a great manager. I just don't want to see it because it's the most scrutinized position in the whole entire city. So, like, do I want to come at Jason Varitek, like former captain, two-time World Series champion? If he makes a bad decision, do I want to have to crush him for that? Fuck no. No, I don't want to do that. Thank God I got Alex Cora as my manager. He doesn't make bad decisions. But David Ross, he's a lovable guy. Do I want him in a position where if maybe he fucks it? Like, look at Aaron Boone. Perfect example. Aaron Boone as the Yankees manager. Dude was a legend. Now my entire Twitter timeline is fuck Aaron Boone. I hate Aaron Boone. Fire Aaron Boone. It's like, why would you, like, do you really need to scratch that itch so bad that you you wager your legend status in the only city where you're important? But not to say, I mean, like, David Ross isn't managing the Cubs or the Red Sox or the Braves, but just coming back into baseball, maybe that's it. Maybe that's because he has no legacy in Minnesota that it doesn't matter.
To be honest, I think the more confusing part isn't anything to do with David Ross even. It's just what are the Twins and what direction are they trying to go? Like, I don't.
Well, yeah, because you're going from Twins are Hall of Famer.
You're going from Hall of Famer to David Ross. You're going from a manager who had no previous managerial experience, who, for by all accounts, did not succeed the way they wanted him to there, to potentially another manager with zero previous managerial experience. And, like, maybe David Ross is great, maybe he wouldn't be. I don't really know, but I think the Twins are on the short list for, and this is an off-season conversation, but I think the Twins are on the short list for, like, the most unclear team in terms of what direction are they trying to go. Like, is this Buxton Sano, like, is that core still a thing? Are we still doing that? Are we getting to the point where we're looking at another total teardown because this team never matured into the team that it was supposed to be? I don't know. Like, it's just, to me, it's hard to react to a managerial choice when I'm so unclear about what the front office is trying to accomplish.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I am with you. That's why I just threw out the Molitor thing. Like, it's not a Hall of Famer. I'm not saying you're going from just because you're a Hall of Famer player doesn't mean you can manage a game, the club. That's not what that means. I'm lock and step with you, Jay Hay. Where are you going? Who are you?
Twitter questions?
Let's do it.
These are some, we went a little off the board this week for the Twitter questions. Not hard-hitting objective questions necessarily, but more soft-focused. Fam, I'm just wondering how long it takes for orders from the Barstool shop to ship out. I need my Fear the Beer shirt before the playoffs are over. Buddy, I got bad news.
So here's the deal. With the Barstool t-shirts, all I do is come up with the ideas, ask for them to be printed, hope that they get printed, and if they do get put on the store, that it's out of my hands from there. So if you buy a Barstool t-shirt, you might get it in a week. You might get it in 2 weeks. I don't know. But if you have an issue with your order, you want to tweet Welks303. He's the guy that can help you out. Like this time of the year is a nightmare because it's like I'm dealing with playoff baseball.
Can you repeat that, Jared? I'd like to get that name and number as well.
Yes, I can. I can for sure do that for you. It is Welks, W-E-L-K-S 303, and if you bought a t-shirt that I put out there and you feel like it's taken too long to get to you, then we can help you out, or not me specifically, but our people can. So we'll figure this out together as a team.
Yep, we'll get through that. That will be a tremendous Christmas gift for the person who tweeted that in. Can someone answer why Hubs decided to make his Twitter background picture when he was on the field at Fenway after the sweep and getting sprayed by the hose? Like, that's the pick he wants. Wow.
It's a good question. It's a good question. I think
it's the only time that Hubs will be around any sort of hose having fun.
Oh!
Is that even an insult?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is for sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I felt insulted for him. I'm trying to put myself in his shoes, I guess. Like, I don't know. I mean, he's on the field at Fenway. It's his first year full-time at Barstool. Like, if I went back to, like, my first year full-time or first year at Barstool and, like, if I did something on the field at Yankee Stadium for Red Sox-Yankees, like, that'd be a cool moment.
Yeah. Leave Hubs alone.
Yeah. Hashtag leave Hubs alone.
If the Reds, all right, Jared, here we go, baby. If the Red Sox and Brewers make the World Series and the Brewers beat the Red Sox, and in parentheses, because obviously he will root for the Red Sox, will Jared quit rooting for the Brewers next season?
I don't know. I feel like I would, I don't know. That would be it's going to be a tough spot if this happens. I mean, it's a fucking tough spot.
What you have to do is you have to tell the other girl that you're dating right now, you have to let her know that at some point in time, you're telling her you're going to get married, but you're just never going to marry her.
Right.
That's what you're.
Yeah. No, that's fair. Like, yeah, I think in this situation, if the Brewers beat the Red Sox in the World Series, I definitely could not go like all out Brew Crew, but I'm still going to support my guys. Like, I'm still going to support Yelly and Shaw. But yeah, there's no way that I could be like Brew Crew. Like, I can't do
it. So they're not going to be. Is
hashtag
it fair to say that they
no
won't be your
crew?
Yeah.
They're not going to be your crew anymore. Man,
yeah, that's hard. That's hard because I mean I've loved being accepted by this fan base, and even in the World Series, like this is my promise to Brewers fans. If
did you just hold up two fingers like a fucking Cub Scout?
Yes, this is my Scout's honor. Yeah, I don't break Scout's honor. If the Brewers and the Red Sox meet in the World Series, I am not going to troll the Brewers or their fans. They've been so fucking good to me this year. I've loved the journey that they've been on. We'll deal with it when we get there. If that happens, if that's a scenario that unfolds.
And you know what? And what's unfortunate is it's going to be unfortunate to watch that Red Sox fan base turn on you because they're going
to. They're not going to they're because gonna. I'm not going to be like, I'm not going to be getting excited
they
for
didn't
Brewers
sign up.
Stuff.
They didn't sign up for that rocket. That's right. Not the rocket they know and love.
Right.
That's not the rocket they know and love. That's not their rocket. So you might be a rocket ship, but you're going to be coming into the atmosphere wearing blue and gold. So it's going to be like, oh, that's kind of the rocket, but is he wearing a Milwaukee Brewer jersey? Because I can see the rocket, but I'm also seeing what the rocket's wearing. And that's not my rocket.
Yeah. I mean, so here's the thing. I want the Brewers to do well. But if the Brewers come up against the Red Sox in the World Series, I think Brewers fans know. They're like, of course he's going to root for the Red Sox. But I'm not going to troll them. That's different. Like when I was covering the Red Sox-Yankees series, it's like you have anti-Yankee stuff and you have pro-Red Sox stuff. This would just be pro-Red Sox. I'm not trying to hurt anyone in Milwaukee. For sure not. These are my people.
But you're trying to lift up the spirits and rally the fans mm-hmm. of the Red Sox, something you've done your entire
nothing
life.
Nothing will change. I'm just not going to try.
It sounds like everything's changing.
Well,
just trolling.
In the Astros series, Red Sox Astros, I'm not going to.
Rocket brand.
But it's always been the Yankees. And the Houston Astros ALCS, I'm not going to be trolling Astros fans.
I can remember a couple tweets earlier this year where it wasn't just the Yankees who were in your crosshairs of trolling. So that would mean that.
Who?
Yeah,
the A's,
maybe the Oakland A's. Yeah, Oakland A's. Good time.
That's mostly because of you, though. I mean, if it wasn't you,
some are already starting to call you. It's no longer the Saugus Rocket; it's the Sausage Rocket in reference.
The Sausage Rocket. Oh, I love it,
like
JJ.
That. It'll be interesting. Obviously, I'm not rooting for the Red Sox to get eliminated, but we were talking about a potential. A scenario where the Yankees eliminated the Red Sox and made it to the World Series, and so did the Brewers, and I came back. It's like I would have tweeted the gif of like the Undertaker's hand coming out of the grave. It's like you thought you were done with me, but you're not. You just ran into my other team. That would have been great.
I got two final thoughts for you guys. Mm-hmm. First one, I was just alerted that there's a report that the Cubs approached Chris Bryant about an extension worth north of $200 million, and he said no thank you.
Wow.
So that's a little nugget to chew on. The second nugget that I have is that Brad Ziegler is set to retire.
Really?
Yep,
really?
That news just broke on MLB Trade Rumors.
Huh. That's
wow, Ziggy. I'll have to we got to get Ziggy on.
Yeah, for sure. And the final thing I will leave you with, and this is, I think, a nice nugget to preview the LCSs across the board. This is courtesy of Joe Sheehan. The team that hits more home runs in this postseason is 11-0, and then there's been a 3.5% increase in runs via the home run compared to the regular season. So if you hear announcers talking about small ball in the LCS, just remember, they're lying to you.
Mm-hmm. 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 It's fair.
Wow.
Are there any other shorter questions, Jay Hay?
No, that's it.
That's it? Wow. Wow. What a week in baseball. We're down to 4. We started at 30. We're down to 4. We started at 3 on this podcast. We're down to 1.
Yeah.
So, which is sad. Sad. It is sad.
It is sad. It is sad.
I'm very happy, but
I'm excited because as soon as I'm done here, I'm going to be booking a flight out to Boston Friday, game 1, ALCS. Me and Hubs being the old fucking pinstriped pony Hubs. Gonna take him out, get loose with it, let the Boston faithful sort of share their thoughts with Hubs on how the season's gone.
All right, we'll see you then. ALCS, NLCS, Astros, Red Sox, Brewers, Dodgers. Should be interesting. We'll catch you next week.
Later.
Go Sox!